Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Telling lies, being addicted to substances or sex, moral failures, all of us have bad habits we need to lose. What we lack is the means to break the cycles of bondage that hold us prisoner. God sets three conditions for your freedom. To learn what they are, stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we come to the second message in a series on how to say no to a stubborn habit. Here is Pastor Lutzer with three prerequisites for change.
There was once a man in the Middle Ages who used to make links for chains. And his links were made so strong that he used to brag about it. He used to tell other people that when you see a link with my mark on it, you know that it's a link that cannot be broken. And one day that man committed a crime and he was put in jail. And he was confident that he was going to get out of jail, but he discovered that the chains by which he had been bound were chains that had his own mark. The very links that he had made and the links that he had manufactured became the links that bound him. And how often it is in life that we get ourselves into habits that bind us, habits that are almost like links of a chain that cramp us and that tie us down and confine us. Oftentimes these habits are things that develop simply because perhaps as we go along in life, we develop wrong thought patterns, and these thought patterns eventually lead to certain types of behavior, and then that behavior ensnares us, and we cry up to God to be delivered, and sometimes we're not delivered, even though we cry up to Him for deliverance. And sometimes those habits become so bad that they may become something like alcohol, an alcoholism. And how many people there are in the world who would just like to be free of alcohol? They just like to be able to shed that burden and that weight. And they genuinely try to be free. And they determine that they will be free. And they vow that they will be free. And they promise their wives that they will be free, but they're not. And then you find that there are those who develop habits such as the pattern of worry. And pretty soon, after years and years of worry, we develop that habit and we just learn to live with it and we learn to cope with it and we learn to accept it until suddenly our system breaks down under its weight. But basically, we have become enslaved by a bad habit. Now, oftentimes we're told that the way in which you break a bad habit is to yield to the Lord. And so there are many people who, in moments usually of guilt, usually after they've gone through that same cycle over and over again, and they begin to see that their lives are becoming ensnared in a very dangerous path, they cry up to God and they say, "Oh God, I yield," and they really are sincere. But it doesn't last. And you know what happens to a person like that? They go through a cycle in their lives where they repeatedly yield to the Lord and they commit the same sin over and over again, the same habit time and time again, until they become deeply, deeply disillusioned. And the latter state of people like that become worse than the former. If you want to find out how to avoid that, you have to come back next week. But you know that as a result of these habits that we tend to develop, we sometimes wonder why it is that the temptations in life that lead to those habits, we wonder why it is that those temptations are so desperately strong. And before I get into some principles tonight, I'd like to, by way of introduction, comment on that. You know that I teach at Moody Bible Institute, and sometimes the students at Moody come to see me and they say, "Why is it that the temptations of life that ensnare us, why are those temptations so desperately powerful? Why is it that a person can burn and be consumed so easily with lust and covetousness and pride? Why is it that God doesn't do something to make life easier?" And do you know that He could? He could. God could just go like that and he could exterminate the devil. Now that'd help, wouldn't it? So that our choice in life would be a little bit more easy and that it would be weighted in the direction of God rather than in the direction of sin. God could do that. You know that something else that God could do is he could make it so that our natures were not quite so desirous to be enticed with evil. Now God could do that. He could take some of those passions that are within us and he could somehow ease them and he could throw some cold water on them. And then the choice to serve God could be easy. Or God could put us in places where we won't be tempted quite so strongly. Have you ever said to yourself, oh, I wouldn't have done that, but look at where I was. Look at the person that God put next to me. I wouldn't have fallen into that sin, but why is it that God allowed these circumstances to happen? And as a result of those circumstances, I fell into my old habit. I wouldn't have become angry. But look at who I married. It's her fault. I'll tell you, I've got some things to say about that in this series. I've got some things to say about it, but I want you to know that one of the reasons why God lets us be tempted so strongly is because he wants to develop, for one thing, within us, great self-understanding. He wants you to get a good look at how weak and wicked you are. He wants you to know that there is within you the capacity for all sorts of sins. Don't you ever think that your heart, your sinful nature, is a lot purer and better than Hitler's. The only thing that distinguishes us from all the criminals in the world is our environment and the grace of God. And God sometimes wants to simply show us how evil we are, and therefore he allows the temptations and he allows us to be in circumstances just to prove that we are, apart from his grace, desperately wicked. You know that there's something else, though, that God wants to do in the temptations and the habits of life? He wants to give us a clear choice to choose in his direction. He really does. And he wants that choice to be made so clear that he says, I'll throw a whole lot of temptation in the way to give you lots of chances to see whether or not you really love me. You can't say that you love somebody until you've had to make a hard choice in their favor. You can't say that you've loved your wife until you've taken care of her when she's been sick or when some tragedy has happened. We can't say that we love God with all our hearts, our whole mind, and our whole soul. And we can't say that we love him with our consuming passion until we have faced the strongest temptation. And we have said, oh God, because of you, I will resist that temptation and I will choose in your direction. God says, that's why I throw lots of temptation in your path. And he wants to do something else, and that is show us his power. Show us his power. And if you today are bound by some habit that you'd like to get rid of, if there is something that you just like to be able to shake and you've tried 1,000 times and you haven't, God wants to display his power and he wants to show that he can deliver you, because he can. Isn't there a song that says he breaks the power of canceled sin? He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the vilest clean, and his blood availed for thee. And God can deliver you. He can deliver you from laziness. He can deliver you from sensuality. He can deliver you from a hot temper. He can deliver you from worry. He can deliver you from covetousness. He can deliver you because he's in the business of delivering you. That's the whole reason why he doesn't do away with the devil. That's the reason why he doesn't make it easier, is he wants us to use every temptation and every bad habit as a stepping stone. And he wants to use it to teach us and to purge us and to conform us to Christ's image. And so he throws all of these difficulties in our path, and we get ourselves entangled in all sorts of bad habits and messes, because God says, I want to use that in your life to show you my power and my greatness and my grace. Doesn't justify your sin or your habit, But it shows you the might and the ability of a God who can take all of the messes of life and can use those messes as stepping stones. And He wants to be able to take the temptations in your life and turn them into triumphs. So don't become upset if you're in a bad habit. Become upset with a habit, but I want you to know that there is hope and there is deliverance, and I want you to be able to focus on that deliverance, because God can free you. God can free you. Now what I'd like to do is to ask you to turn with me to the third chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, because I want to give you three things that you've got to believe in order to be set free from your bad habit. Three things that you must believe. You must believe. Now, believing these three things in themselves will not deliver you, but they will set the foundation for deliverance. You know, Genesis chapter 3 is a great chapter because here's where all of our problems got started. And it shows you how Satan works, and he works the very same way today. He's not like General Motors. He doesn't bring out a new model every year. Basically, the same things that Satan uses, the same tactics, are used today. And I want to give you three things that you've got to believe very deeply before you become a candidate for deliverance. The first thing that you have to be convinced of is this, that God is good. God is good. Do you know that this temptation in the Garden of Eden was basically casting doubt on God's goodness? You remember it says in verse 2 that the woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God."
My friend, if you've been listening to the ministry of Running to Win for any length of time, you know that we are committed to the Scriptures. And what we desire more than anything is the exaltation of Jesus Christ. If you've been blessed, it's because other people just like you have invested in this ministry. Would you consider becoming what we call an endurance partner? Of course you need info. I hope that you have a pen or pencil handy. But I want to thank you in advance for praying about the possibility of indeed joining the Running to Win family. Here's what you do. Go to offerrtw.com. Let me say that more slowly. You go to offerrtw.com, click on the Endurance Partner button, or you can call us at 1-800-215-5001.
We must believe that God is good. That's the first of three prerequisites for change. The second of four messages in Erwin Lutzer's series, How to Say No to a Stubborn Habit. Next time, more things we must believe before we can be free. How to Break a Stubborn Habit can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.